Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Pastor Lita doesn't know her mic's on. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Your microphone.
I just...
Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good morning. Say, what do I have in my hand? What's this, Teddy?
A bat.
A bat, that's right. You know what to do with a bat? You hit a baseball with it. That's right. See, you already know that. I brought this bat, though, because it's kind of a funny bat. Why do you think it's so big, Jonah?
For wiffle balls,
but also for little tiny boys and girls, for people that are just learning. It's a great bat if you don't know how to hit a baseball because you have that much more space to hit the ball. You know how. See, that's awesome. You are like perfect for this. So, we learn how, but when you first start, the first time you get up there, sometimes you see it on TV and you think, I could do that. And what happens to little boys and girls when they first try? Swing and a miss. It can happen so easily. They don't know what they're doing yet. How do you get good at it?
Keep practicing.
That's right. I'm bringing that up because it's the same thing for a lot of things in church. God loves us no matter what, but there are things we call discipleship. And it just is keep practicing them because the better we are at it, not the more God loves us, but the more that we can share God's love to others. And it's important we understand it's not that God will love us more, but it does mean that somebody else might hear the word through you better because you're able to share that. Now, does that mean the little child that doesn't know how to do something yet can't share God's love? No, you can. You're good at it. But there are some things that we get better at and better at by doing. And now I'm going to show you one other thing. You guys know Jesus' followers were called the disciples. And the same word for disciple is also in the word discipline because it's practicing. It's all about practicing. So we are all God's disciples, which means we're all Christian practicers. That's what we do. Can you pray with me? Dear God, help me to practice that I might share your love in many ways. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Sometime I want to see you use this bat, Teddy, okay? You'll show me sometime. I wanted to talk about grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I wanted to talk about baseball in that sense because I want to get us thinking about practices. I wanted to do a stewardship sermon today to talk about money. And this text is perfect to talk about money in one sense. But I also realize that when you talk about money, sometimes we turn that into this have to and this thing that's not beautiful. Sometimes we often don't want to talk about money at all because it doesn't seem as spiritual. But I think it is. And to start with, I'm going to show you a video. And now this video has nothing to do with baseball, and it has nothing to do directly with money, but it does have something indirectly to do with practicing when you watch it. And I want you to also experience when you watch this. What the reason I wanted you to see it was because of the joy. So let's watch together.
Hi.
Have fun.
I'll do it. Well, here goes something, I guess. Okay, you can do this. I'm gonna jump.
You got it.
Whoa, my ski's slipping off.
Just remember, never snowplow, okay?
No snowplows.
Just keep it straight and you'll be fine.
Okay.
You can do it on the 20.
Straight. Do you go faster on the in run?
A little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Is it any steeper, do you think? Not
same,
much.
Same steepness, it's just longer.
Well, just longer. Just longer. Just a bigger 20, that's all.
Yep. Have
it's
fun.
A bigger 20. I got it.
It's fine. You'll be fine.
Okay. Here.
The longer you wait, you'll be more scared.
I go. Suspense at the top of the first time freaks you out. That's the only thing. It's so fun. Huh? 60 seems like nothing now. Whoa!
I know. I'm a pastor, and so, you know, I equate everything to church. So forgive me, but when I hear her end with, "This is so fun, 60 seems like nothing now," I'm thinking stewardship. But in all seriousness, did you catch the joy? But did you also catch the leap of faith? And also, did you catch the reality that there is no way that she started with the 60? All of those things have to do with money as well. If we think about this spirituality, that giving is a practice. I see in this video joy. I see in this video a leap of faith. I see in this video an opportunity to grow and wanting to do that. So today we are talking about growing in generosity, but I think it's so important that we get, that we remind ourselves that what we're talking about is another joy, not of just giving. It's a joy of living. And it really is. Loving giving is something that we can all do. And my guess is many of us have found that. As parents, one of the joys of parenting is giving back to your children some of those things that have been given to you. The first time as an adult I experienced that type of thing was as a camp counselor. When I got to go to camp and I got to realize that the reason that I was there, and I didn't know it until I sang a song, was I wanted to give to the kids because I had been given so much when I was at camp. It was such a joy to be on the other side of that. You see, I realize it's hard to talk about money. I realize it's deeply personal. But I've also come to realize that avoiding talking about money is exactly what the world would have us do. And it's exactly what Jesus would not have us do. I'm also aware that giving is a gift as much as it is much more of a gift itself than we realize. That it is that joyful experience. It can be that woo moment. See, though, when we compare ourselves to the world, I think the reason that we often say, well, that's personal and we shouldn't talk about money in church, is that the rest of the world is always trying to get you to spend your money. And they want you to spend it on yourself. Because the consumer world will be better off if you spend every dollar on yourself. We are taught by Jesus in this text, though, that all we have is God's. Not what we choose and what we don't choose. And so sometimes we come to church and say, well, all that I have is God, but don't talk about my money. You see how that's exactly what Jesus is bringing up. See, this, I believe, was also one of the struggles of the Pharisees. They were so caught up in guarding their own piece of the pie that they forgot that the pie was God's in the first place. They didn't see Jesus as an instrument of God, but one meddling with their world. And at a certain point, the Pharisees became less of a giver of faith to others and more of a protector of what they had. It's a danger for the church at all times. In moments of scarcity, we can start feeling like that. And as a whole church, I'm proud of who we are. We are proud as a council when we look and say, this church really focuses. Over 10% of our what comes in goes directly out. Over 10% of the building itself is used by the world that is not giving us a thing for it. Just community oriented. All of these things are awesome. But then I remind you that it's not just our church here, but it's us as individuals. And it's a good thing to look at. I wonder if we can each get to that idea. Now, today I'm not talking to you about tithing. That's kind of like doing the 60 before you've done the 20. But I am talking to you about maybe learning to ski, learning to give. Because if we can find a way to make this a part of our practices, I think we're all going to find that it's a joy, that this is a gift in our life. You know, that whenever I read these stories, I always have sympathy for the Pharisees because I really see myself as one of them. I get it. I understand that that is who I can become at any given moment, at any given day, and I believe we all can. Those Pharisees are unfortunately not those other people. And our issue might be different, but it comes back to the same situation. We often stand against God and God's kingdom to protect our little piece of the pie, whatever it is. Well, praise God for Jesus who loves us in all things. Praise God for Jesus who shines light into the darkness and calls us back. Praise God for Jesus who forgives and calls us to forgive. And praise God for Jesus who's talking with me through the Holy Spirit, even as I share this message, because I'm still not comfortable talking about money either. But I do know that we have to. So when Jesus says to the Pharisees and the Herodians that are gathered here, give me a coin, he is releasing the trap that they've created. The Pharisees were sure they wanted to put themselves in a good light, as I like to put myself in a good light in most situations. And so when this trap came about, Jesus disarmed them without making a huge spectacle of it by simply saying, can you get me a coin? You see, they were trying to trap him to either say to the Herodians that were standing for the government, this guy's against the emperor, or against the Pharisees and the religious establishment by saying, so you put Jesus, or you put Caesar before God? And both of those answers, either answer then would have gotten Jesus into trouble. See, what Jesus did in this story that's so cool is he just asked for that coin. This is like one of those, Jesus, you're awesome moments. Because what he did is they pulled a coin out of their own pocket and he said, what's on that? Oh, a graven image. Something that's not supposed to be in church. Oh, and where was that? In your pocket? Nice. He was reminding them that the very things that they had in their pocket represented a world that they're saying does not belong in the church. But there it was. He convicted themselves when they were trying to convict Jesus. Jesus saw through their hypocrisy. I wonder what it is, the stories that we tell ourselves sometimes when we talk about things like money, or talk about our time, or talk about anything else. It's so easy. Again, I'm not trying to poke too hard, because I know a lot of you give a lot. And I know a lot of you have really thought about this deeply, but I'm really asking you to think about it. Because we can get caught in that, and we're not always aware when we're doing it. See, I just reflect again on this moment. I wonder if some of the Pharisees reflected as well after this moment. Were their hearts so hardened that they couldn't see that God was literally talking to them right there? Or were some of their minds and hearts opened at that point to say, maybe Jesus has a point. And maybe I can let my guard down for a moment from this person who's talking to me about money. And maybe I can be better for it. I wonder if we can look at this text and go from that moment long ago, wondering about how God was talking to them, to wondering about how God is talking to us today. It is always a task to bring God's word into our world. But this verse, give to the emperor what is the emperor and to God what is God's, it seems highly pertinent still today, doesn't it? The characters change, but the challenge remains the same. What parts of my life am I not giving to God? What are the areas of who I am that I keep for myself? It is the discipline that we invite you to ponder. Your experience in our world with money is that everyone is always asking for it. I'm very aware of that. It's a hard thing then for me as a pastor because I want to give you something different than what the world's asking. But I think we are. Because we do find out that as the world is caught up in capitalism, we can be very aware of our resources, not only as something that can help us to reach the goals that we have, but to help the world. Not just the church world here, but the church out in the world. And I know some of you give to other organizations. I invite you to think of that as God's work going out into the world, to ask yourself, is this money doing what I feel called to? And is it serving God in a way that reflects God's light and love? So I get that there might be a part of you that doesn't want your church to talk about money because you want a place in life that doesn't go there all the time, that brings you peace in that respect. But I hope you get what I'm talking about, that maybe taking a moment to reflect on this can help each and every one of us. You do have a commitment card with you. I want to let you know it was in with your bulletin today. They'll come in your statements as well. I'd love for you to ponder and pray about what you could give. I'd love you to ponder and pray about also, is there a way that I can do more? Is this not going to happen this year? But one way or the other, to think about a commitment. I got to admit, as I look at this card, this side here, I think, is more important. It's the side that says, keep this portion for your records. What I kind of imagine is putting this in a place that you see it, that you remind yourself of your commitment, that you can pray about, that you can talk about. And if you're saying to yourself, you know, I don't know that I can make a commitment this year, things are really, really tight, I'd invite you to try a special kind of sacrificial giving, because it's not about the level of giving. It's about that connectedness. So perhaps you're somebody who says, Pastor, if I could give a dollar a week, that would be tough for me. My budget's that tight. Well, I'd invite you to look and say, well, what if one time a week you ordered a water instead of the soda at that one restaurant? And what if you looked at that and you prayed right when you got that meal and you said, praise the Lord that I can have this water today, that I can have a full meal and full drink and save a dollar here, and I'd like to give that away. And I'd like to hear those stories, even if that money's not going to the church, even if that's going somewhere else, even if right at that moment you looked and said, I want to give this dollar to this organization right here. See, if we all, how do we grow in a way that God calls us to, even when the world says, keep it for yourself? Well, we do it by practicing. How can we be like that little girl and change the world? We do it by practicing. How can we have the joy that she had? We do it by practicing. And there are other ways, other spiritual practices than giving. But I got to admit, I can't think of one that the world more says to them, no, don't do that. You could spend it on yourself. The world is telling us that you don't have to do this. God is saying that you can connect with the world better. Please do this. Is there anyone here who can do what that little girl did on that jump? I'm not sure. Maybe. Maybe a few of you. But the reality is most of us aren't at that point. But we can be at the point where we can try to do the very basic things, the very starting place. And maybe you'll never do what she did on a ski hill. And maybe you'll never be somebody who can get to that point of tithing. But if we started with a smaller jump, you might find that you have the joy of giving like that little girl has the joy of skiing. Giving is what our life of faith really is. A life giving in response to the gift that we have been given. And we know it isn't all about money. But it is about money as well as all of your gifts. Because when we share those gifts, we change the world. Amen.